The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. It is the first day of spring practice, so we have lots to talk about. Today we will be previewing the defense heading into spring practice with Avery Jones. She should be joining us here shortly. So we'll go over Tom Allen's new 4-2-5 defense, some position changes that have been announced on the new roster that was released yesterday. What improvements IU will need to show in the spring to give the fan base some confidence going into the fall and making a run at another bowl game and possibly even 8, 9, or 10 wins. So we'll go over that and we'll see how it goes. Anyway, some major news coming out of Illinois first before we get started. And Bill Cubitt has been dismissed from Illinois as head coach. He had just been given a new 2-year contract extension over, I believe it was the last week of the season, of the 2015 season. So he is out at Illinois. They have no coach. Their spring ball was supposed to start on March 11th. And we'll see where it goes. It's been an interesting story to follow since Tim Beckman got dismissed a week before the game, the opening game last year. So anyway, we'll talk more about IU here in a second. So anyway, some announcements coming up for IU's defense. You know, some positional changes. We'll go through them. Devontae Williams, who played at corner last year, is switched back to running back. He played at corner last year, got hurt in the Western Kentucky game. We'll see where it goes at running back. It is kind of a log jam right now there, but he is a dynamic player. You'll see him probably on kick returns, depending on the health of that knee. So just to go through there, that's Devontae Williams from corner to running back. You saw also Jamaris Bowen will be at defensive line. He came in as a transfer from Cincinnati for offensive line. We all figured he would be on the defensive line because there's so much depth and talent on the offensive line that they need some help on the defensive line. Bowen did play defensive line in high school as well. So it should be a good fit. We'll see what he brings to the table. So that's that. Anyway, also some other notable position switches. You saw, I believe, Greg Gooch and Omari Stringer have moved from that bandit position or linebacker position, Niall Sykes as well, to defensive line. That's something that Tom Allen's 4-2-5 defense will do. They're bringing in an extra defensive lineman. Usually it'll be a defensive end. It's called the bull position. You'll see these guys who have been bandits probably mostly transition to that bull position. It's more of a traditional defensive line position, a pass rushing position. So we said in our defensive line preview that some of these guys, they might be small, but if you looked at Tom Allen's size from USF, they're right around there. You know, small is not necessarily bad. It's if you're smaller, you're probably quicker, and you could get that edge. And that's something that IU does need is a pass rush. And that'll help out that young secondary, which we'll talk in, about in a minute here. So if you get a pass rush, you know, it forces the offense to do things a little bit quicker. You know, you've seen it all the time. Even if you have the best defensive backs in the world, you know, if you give a quarterback 5 seconds to pick them apart, it's going to happen. So having a pass rush and the two guys that really need to step up along the defensive line who are proving, you know, they proved themselves their freshman years, kind of never really got over the hump. But, you know, Ralph Green and Nate Hoff, they're two guys who had outstanding freshman years, were named to, you know, freshman All Big Ten teams, freshman All America teams, and just never took the next step in terms of production on the field. Now, now you need them to produce. If they produce, that makes you a little bit stronger up front. It gives you two people who are. You don't have to worry about as much. So Nate Hoff and Ralph Green, I think Ralph Green's now coming into spring practice at 320 pounds. Nate Hoff is listed at 302 pounds. So that's some big beef up in the middle of that defense. You'll probably have at the one end, Jacob Robinson starting. At the other end, it's wide open. You'll probably see a good rotation of people all along the defensive line, but especially in spring practice, we'll see. And, you know, if they don't produce, this is a great time for them to get reps in and prove themselves. But if they don't produce, you might see them having to force Alan Stallings to play as a freshman and all of that stuff. So we'll go into corners next and you know, we'll take a short break right now. All right, we're back talking IU football defense in the spring. We just found out that Lydia Jones had an emergency come up, or Avery Jones have a emergency come up. So we'll be bringing in Alex Compton, who joined us last week for the offensive preview. He'll be joining us in a few minutes. Is actually right now, Alex. Thanks for jumping on such short notice. How are you today?
Great, no problem. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I've been talking a little bit about the defensive line, how there's going to be four defensive linemen now, and what Tom Allen's defense might look like. I talked about the importance of Ralph Green and Nate Hoff to the interior of this defense. Is there anything else that needs to be said about this defensive line?
I would just say when we're looking at the D-line, I think you definitely have Green and Hoff as sort of the established pieces. I think we know pretty much what we're going to get from them. I think we need to see some freshmen step up, and then we need to see Jacob Robinson take that next step. He played a decent amount of snaps last year as a true freshman. I'd like to see him put on a little weight and become more of an interior D-lineman. And then also you're looking at two guys that redshirted that we've previewed, Brandon Wilson and Joe Belden. Both those guys will also be really important because you need good depth up front, especially because last year I feel a lot of the times as Zach Shaw and Mangieri were just gassed the whole game because they were out there pretty much the whole time because there's just so little depth.
Yeah, and you know, depth is one thing. Talented depth is another thing. I wrote the defensive line preview, and going through it, there's a lot of guys they have coming in the spring who could play defensive line. It's just unproven talent, and it would make life so much easier if Nate Hoff and Ralph Green played to that potential that they flashed their freshman years. But anyway, let's move to the strength of this defense, the linebackers, Alex. They returned Tigray Scales, Marcus Oliver, who led the team in tackles last year. TJ Simmons is back. He's battling an injury, it looked like, but we'll see if he's a full go for spring. You have a bunch of guys back. Clyde Newton is back as well. What is this linebacking core going to look like, especially if they play more of a 4-2-5 defense instead of a 4-3 defense with only two linebackers on the field?
Yeah, that's a question that we still have yet to answer that we'll be watching out for in the open practices in the spring game. But, I mean, obviously, like you said, linebackers definitely the strength of the defense. You got Simmons and Oliver, who have both established themselves as just steady players that you know what you're going to get. They can stop the run. They're versatile enough to play a little in coverage. And then you also have T. Gray Scales, who's a guy that has really continued to get better, and I think he should be in for a huge year. So it's just, I'm not sure that you can play a 4-2-5 and leave some of these talented linebackers off the field, because it's definitely the strength of the defense, and I think having more of them on the field would definitely be better than having fewer, obviously.
Yeah, and you could see maybe some of these linebackers playing the Husky position, which is the hybrid safety linebacker position. There are a few guys who fit into that role. T-Gray Scales is probably going to be at the will linebacker position, but he, to me, fits that mold. He's quick enough to make plays in coverage. He's big enough to play linebacker. But you see some of these guys, they'll move them around where some of this linebacker depth, they might be listed as defensive back, they might be listed as defensive lineman, but they'll figure out a way. And I'm sure Tom Allen is smart enough and a good enough coach to say, hey, our strength is at linebacker. We can't take talent off the field. And as Coach Wilson has always said, he wants his best guys on the field. And you've seen some of these linebackers like Niall Sykes and Greg Gooch who have been switched to defensive line. So, you know, we'll see – you know, where they line up, whether it's a true defensive lineman, whether it's that defensive line, linebacker hybrid, we'll see. But they will find a way to get these guys on the field. Alex, some of these, you know, the big question coming out of last year was, can this secondary be better? It was awful last year. It was the Achilles heel of the defense, so to speak, although, you know, most of the defense was pretty bad overall. But, you know, the secondary stood out. What do you want to see from this secondary that, you know, kind of will give you a little bit of confidence, give fans a little bit of confidence coming out of spring and going into fall camp?
Yeah, I would say the biggest thing for me is just limiting the big plays. I mean, our offense is good enough where we can stay in games, but we can't be giving up the two-minute drives where they just march right down the field. There's definitely playmakers on the back end. Like, you look at a guy like Rashard Fant, he's a guy that you can just throw on the outside, and I'd feel pretty comfortable now with him locking up a top receiver for most of the game. He's that good. And then you add in Jamie Thompson, obviously, the JUCO transfer. And then you also bring Wesley Green in, who had to sit out last year because he was transferred from South Carolina. So, I mean, there's players on the back end that we could definitely use. To me, it's just a matter of aligning right so we can make sure everybody's communicating to cut down on those big plays that have absolutely killed the team in the last few seasons.
Yeah, and they, you know, you'd lose one of your corners, Devontae Williams, who was, I believe, started game two against FIU, and might have started against Southern Illinois as well, but he's moving back to running back. So the depth, they have enough depth there to feel comfortable enough to move him back to running back. You know, it's good to see Leon Thornton, who switched there late in the year last year, is back at defensive back. He showed a lot of promise. For somebody who had only spent a week there before the Maryland game, he made a pretty big tackle in that game. He made a play or two in the bowl game, and I believe he made a play in the Purdue game. So in his limited time there, he showed some good skill, and having a whole spring under his belt and a whole fall camp there under his belt should help IU create some talented depth there as well. Some some other guys who you really want to watch is, you know, you saw Rashard Vance. He's clearly the number one cover guy on this team. You saw Rashard Vance take a leap this year in 2015 from 2014. And is that growth going to continue? You saw he had a great interception against Duke in the Pinstripe Bowl. And he led the team in pass breakups. Now, the next step for him logically is turning those pass breakups into interceptions. And, you know, turnovers, you could give up yards, but if you're getting turnovers, it helps you out on the scoreboard a little bit, keeps your opponent off from putting points up on the board. So that logically, I think, is the next step for Fant. You know, you also have Jameel Cook coming back from injury. You have Tony Fields is back. You know, the guy you want to watch, Donovan Clark, he missed the entire year last year with a back injury. He's, you know, we'll see how he is. He looked decent as a freshman, as basically as good as a freshman DB at Indiana can look. He looked pretty good. So we'll see if he could bounce back. He's still on the roster, which is a good sign of him being available. But when we go in, we'll probably see a little bit more tomorrow when we're down for practice. Are there any other defensive backs, Alex, that stand out? You know, I know you mentioned Wesley Green and Jamie Thompson, but how about Jonathan Crawford coming into his second year after leading the team in interceptions? I believe he finished third or fourth in tackles. What do you need to see from him?
Yeah, I mean, the dude's a beast, and we saw that last year. The biggest thing for me is I want to see him be able to match up more one-on-one in coverage, especially when teams try to spread out our defense, because that has typically worked since we really don't have the playmakers to stay with anybody on defense. So I'd like to see him be able to match up one-on-one on the outside, or maybe even move him down into that Husky position Allen's going to use, and then you could have Dutra coming back as one of the safeties, and then you could have Thompson at the other safety with Crawford kind of just running around making plays, because he showed a knack for that as a true freshman. So for me, that's the big thing. I'd like to see him improve his one-man coverage a little more. But he's a ball hawk, and he showed that, and that's definitely going to be huge for the defense this coming season.
Yeah, you know, creating turnovers. You saw, you know, they were streaky last year in creating turnovers. Over the first, you know, four or five games, they were very, very good. I think they forced, two or three turnovers against Ohio State, and then they went on a dry spell. And you saw during that six-game losing streak, the defense stopped getting turnovers. And then when they went back to winning some games, especially that Purdue game, they forced some turnovers late in that game as well to seal it. But these turnovers, Alex, they're momentum changers for the defense and the offense. You know, it gets your defense off the field. The crowd is usually pumped up after them. You get a tap out sign on. I think they're still doing that. I hope they are.
But
you get a tap out sign put up. I think they're doing it on the south end zone wall. But you know, it fires everybody up and gives people energy when you get these turnovers. And you saw it. You know, Western Kentucky was one of the prime examples of that, where you saw Jonathan Crawford pick off two Brandon Dowdy passes that really turned the tide in favor of IU. And points off of turnovers as well. They stopped doing that during that six-game losing streak as well. So we'll see the new defensive staff, if they're emphasizing more aggressiveness in terms of going after balls in the air, ripping the balls out of ball carriers' hands. But let's move on to the staff. There's two new members of the staff on the defensive side of the ball. Obviously, it's Tom Allen, defensive coordinator, came up from USF. And IU also hired new defensive line coach, not a new face to IU, but new defensive line coach, Mark Hagan. And what did these two guys bring to the table, Alex?
Well, the big thing with Allen is I think the scheme change to that 4-2-5 style. I think that is going to really emphasize just letting athletes be athletes and make plays, which I think will be huge for the defense. The last couple seasons, the defenders have kind of looked timid, like they don't want to make a mistake, and that's going to lead to mistakes. So I think that'll be huge. And then Hagan, he's a recruiting ace. I mean, we haven't been able to recruit defensive line very well as of late, and that's what he does well, is he's going to recruit. Like two guys he recruited last year, obviously to Texas A&M, but 2 4-stars, and then a whole mess of 3-stars, but in just last year. But obviously a little different here, but he should be able to bring some of that and help us recruit on the defensive line moving forward.
Yeah, and, you know, that's you bring up recruiting. They're both Indiana guys, and I know fans want more Indiana recruits. Now you have to think logically about it. You don't want to recruit Indiana just because you're Indiana. You want to recruit the talented guys in Indiana. And now there is a lot of talent in the state, but you don't want to recruit a guy who's not going to contribute to this team and basically be an albatross just because they're from Indiana. And I think these guys have an eye for that talent and have the ability to pick and choose who they want. Now, you know, what IU needs to do is stop these other Power 5 conference teams from coming in and taking kids out of their backyard. I think Northwestern grabbed a guy, Iowa grabbed a guy. You might not be able to beat out Ohio State or Notre Dame for everybody, but keep these middle-of-the-pack Big Ten teams and teams you could compete with on and off the field, like Iowa and Northwestern, from poaching the state. Now, you're probably going to lose some guys to Purdue, but you know, IU has all the momentum as a Big Ten school in the state. They've won 3 straight bucket games. They're coming off a bowl game. Their offense led the conference. They're a more exciting team. I think, you know, they have all the momentum in the world when it compares to Purdue, where if you look like a decade ago, 10 to 15 years ago, it was Purdue getting these guys. And now maybe the tides have changed a lot in favor of Wilson and that program in terms of, hey, we're starting to jump some of these lesser programs now from being a bottom feeder to being a middle of the pack Big Ten team, which would be outstanding. You don't have to, you know, your end goal should always be, hey, we want to make the Big Ten championship game. We want to win a Big Ten championship. We want to go to a Rose Bowl and compete for a national title. But you have to take the steps along the way, and jumping over teams like Purdue, Illinois, you know, Maryland and Rutgers, and getting up into that second tier of teams is important. And I think if the defense, you know, and we'll get a better feel for it tomorrow, Alex, when we're down at practice, if this defense can produce just a little bit, this team could go very, very far and change the mentality of and the perception of IU football around the state. Now, I didn't grow up in the Midwest. I grew up in New York City. I became an IU fan when Coach DiNardo brought in some of the Poly Prep guys from Brooklyn. And so that was 2002. But, you know, can you tell us a little bit about the perception in the Midwest of IU football and how that could be changed with the big season coming up?
Yeah. I mean, you look at IU, and it's always – I grew up as a mid-major fan, Mid-American Conference for NIU, and that was kind of always the team you wanted to see on the schedule because it was a Power 5 school that you felt like you could beat year in and year out. That's starting to change. That's not like reading up on all the MAC news. That's not a team that MAC teams are trying to schedule anymore. They're looking at – obviously, Purdue plays a couple every year. Then they're looking at, like, the Maryland and those kind of teams. But IU is kind of the chaos team, I guess. When you watch them, you know there's going to be a lot of points, a lot of turnovers, a lot of crazy stuff that will eventually lead you to anywhere from 4 to 7 wins. I think that's starting to change. The bowl game was huge for that. But now we're starting to establish ourselves as one of those middle-of-the-road Big Ten teams looking to take that next step. And I think all those games on TV last year really showed people that the program is on the rise.
Yeah, and, you know, speaking of scheduling MAC teams, now Ball State is on the schedule in the next this year and going forward, which is a good game for IU. It's a local game. People, you know, Ball State travels well down to Bloomington. I don't want to call it a rivalry game, although Ball State's won the last three, so it's almost a one-sided rivalry. But it's something that might be turned into that's a game you have to watch. IU should be able to beat them year in and year out, but that hasn't been the case. And Ball State's always up to play IU emotionally. I was at the game in 08 when Love got hurt and IU lost. I was at the game in 2011 at Lucas Oil where they lost. I was at the game in 2012 where they lost. And, the Ball State fans are passionate fans, and that's a MAC game that IU needs to start playing. Now, I understand other MAC teams, and IU really hadn't had the greatest luck against them. They lost to Bowling Green in 2014. They lost to Central Michigan. I think that was in 08. Now, that's forever ago, but, all of a sudden these MAC teams started not playing. And now I think UMass comes back on the IU schedule sometime in the future as part of a home-and-home from a couple years ago. But you start seeing these MAC teams, the good MAC teams, stay away from IU, and IU staying away from some of these good MAC teams as well. So the perception, I think, in-state, could change. It's still – I think it's still a – I hate to say it, and it really kills me to say it, but you see it on Twitter and on Instagram all the time. IUFB is going to IUFB. And, chaos what that team. Means is a chaos team, heartbreaking team, can't trust them and all that stuff. But, this is where you build up your goodwill. You went to a bowl game, and fans were legitimately pumped because that was at a time when the basketball team was really struggling. They had lost to Duke. They laid an egg in Maui, the Big Ten championship that they just clinched was the furthest thing from most people's minds. And IU, the football team, really had the stage to start turning some people in their favor as well and really get that attention. And I think they did a good job of that. And this year, if they could build on that, and this is where they kind of failed in 2008, was – what do you do now? And what's the next step? And they went, I believe they went 3-9 in 2008 and won one Big Ten game, just didn't look good. They lost to two MAC teams. And now you have a chance to rectify that. You have a chance to go to a second bowl game. You have a chance to really make a splash in maybe an East Conference or an East Division that might not be as great as it was last year. You have a lot of question marks coming back. Now Michigan and Ohio State are probably going to battle for those top two spots, but who's playing quarterback at Penn State, who's playing quarterback at Michigan State, and what's going on at Maryland and Rutgers really has a chance to move up in that division and really make some noise. So I think this is a big spring practice. Alex, what are you looking for going into practice tomorrow?
For me, it all comes down to Legault this year. So I'm going to be watching him a lot, not necessarily how he's throwing, but more of how he's grasping what he's been given and the timing he's got with all the guys he's obviously never thrown to. He doesn't have to be good, like we said in the offensive preview, but he just has to be, he has to manage the game. So I'm looking for him to just have some nice crisp throws right on time to some of his new targets.
Yeah, and, as much as the season hinges on the defense, you remember 2014 where the offense really didn't get going under Xander Diamant. And the offense last year, I believe for the first time under Wilson, was elite. Now, they had some great offenses in the past in 2013, but this is the first time where, they could plug in anybody they wanted at some position besides quarterback a little bit and really still dominate. You saw in 2013, they went and played Wisconsin and Ohio State without Tevin Coleman. And They really got hammered at both of those. Now, they were in the Ohio State game, but this offense last year really was elite. If Legault comes in, I don't want to call him a game manager like you, but if he can take care of the ball and just make the throws he needs to make, this offense will once again be in the top two in the league, and that should take some of the pressure off the defense. But this defense also needs to step up, and that's what I'm looking for is, you know, what growth do we see? Now, it's not a true test in spring ball. It's ones against ones, and that's all you're going to see, and you're probably not going to get a true feel for it until they take the field down at FIU or even at home against Ball State. You know, I'm looking for how do these people grow? Are there as many coaching moments as in the past? How are these young guys looking after the weight room? Are they more aggressive? You know, is the defense actually putting up a fight where, you know, sometimes it didn't look like that last year? So that's what I'm looking for. Alex, thanks a million for jumping on in such short notice. I really appreciate it. And we'll see you down in Bloomington tomorrow.
Yep, should be exciting. It's finally here. We've been talking about it for months, but IU football is finally back. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yep. All right, that does it for the Hoosier Huddle podcast and the defensive preview. Hopefully you enjoyed it. We'll have more red shirt previews coming out on Monday. We'll have a full report from practice tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday. I know March Madness is coming up. We will do a Hoosier Huddle bracket challenge again, probably on ESPN. So I will send out a link as soon as the brackets are made official on Selection Sunday. And, you know, we'll get some good prizes again and see what we could do. Anyway, and thanks for joining us on a Saturday afternoon, and we'll see you again soon.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.